Well, a very warm welcome to you tonight. It's lovely to see so many of you here. I do like to pick out celebrities when we gather on these occasions, so it's great to welcome Will Ross. Will heads up our network, the network churches in town, Leeds Buckskin Evangelical. It's great to have Will with us. We love Will, don't we? Yes! I couldn't resist it, Will. You'd have done the same. Really good to see you all here tonight, and just looking forward to what God does with us. I'll introduce our guests from elsewhere a little bit later on. But I wanted to start tonight by reading a psalm from the Message. It's Psalm 63. Some of you, forgive me, will have heard me refer to this already, but it was a psalm that was given to me during my sabbatical, which I had from September through to December, and was privileged to have that period just to step out of my normal run-of-the-mill things that I was involved in, and just to spend some time doing some other stuff. And this psalm was sent to me, and just I find it really powerful. And as I was thinking about tonight, just thought actually it'd be a great place to start again. Psalm 63. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. Doesn't Eugene Peterson do some fantastic phrases? I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts. So here I am, in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I'm really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. And here's a great little phrase. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I'm sure that's not in the NIV. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. If I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection. Anyone do that here? No, that's only him. Because you've always stood up for me, I'm free to run and play. I hold on to you for dear life, and you hold me steady as a post. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. And we're here tonight because we want to meet with God. And sense in my heart is we want to go deeper with him. We want to be changed more into his likeness. And as I was driving here tonight, just that sense of, you know, we already have the Spirit of God living amongst us and living within us, don't we? But actually, God, would you fill us with more of your life? May this part of your people of God be more full of you than we've been before. Can we echo that? Can we say amen to that? Yeah, are we up for that? So why don't we just stand and I'll pray. And then Pete and Marion and the band will lead us on. Lord, the more we get to know you, the more we do echo those words of the psalmist that says, Lord, we can't get enough of you. Lord, there is something in our hearts and our minds that can never be totally satisfied with the journey thus far. We always want to know you more. We always want to know you better. We know we never reach the end of who you are or the depths of your being. Lord, we know we never will, but we pursue you and we press on because we want to know you more. And Lord, our prayer, our cry tonight as we open our hearts right at the beginning and open our minds is that you would fill us with more of your life than we've known before. That we would be a part of your people, Lord God, that know your life in greater measure and in greater ways. Why, Lord? So that your glory can be spread more effectively everywhere we go. So that, Lord Jesus, people would touch you more and more when they touch us and meet us. And we welcome you, Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. Come, have your liberty with us tonight. We do open our hearts. We are thirsty for you. We do want more of you, Lord God. And we say, come and have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to welcome Carl. I don't know what to say about him either, really. We met each other probably about a year ago, getting on for now. And as I said to Tadley Church this morning, I was there this morning and telling him about tonight. He's sort of one of those guys, when you hear some of his stories, you think, am I really a Christian? but it's great, been great getting to know him and just spending some time together over the last year. And a few weeks ago, as an apostolic team in Basingstoke, we had our retreat at Dewey Abbey, and Carl came and spent a day with us, and we had a wonderful time, just
being together, hearing from him, hearing from God. And I just believe he's one of those guys who can really help provoke us more into the presence of God. And we know the presence of God is here, but we want more, don't we? And we want to be more like Jesus and more full of him. And Carl seems to have that kind of anointing and that kind of provocation. And just want to welcome Carl. Carl, I'll let you introduce Mark, but just let's welcome Carl, shall we, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Phil. This is Mark. He's a very dear friend of ours from South Africa. He's come to join us in Southampton and pioneer to take on all our training. And we've got a real heart for church planting. And Mark's going to head up the work. And we're going to gather people who are just hungry to see this world, this nation saved for Jesus. And with our connection with the Methodist group movement, you know, we have the ability to have as many churches of theirs as we want. And we want to fill them. We want to get back into the communities again and see this nation saved for Jesus. And why not, eh? Anybody up for it? Because
yes.
We've got a sign-up sheet over there. So. Sorry, Phil. Didn't tell you about this, did I? Just before we move, I mean, when you come to a new place, but God's been speaking already, hasn't he, about the breath of God. And I think it would be remiss tonight of us if we don't allow that breath to come. You know, when God has, he said it upstairs in the prayer meeting, and he said it again down here. So I think that must be on his agenda tonight for you as a community of believers to have that breath of God come. I don't know your situations, but all I know is that when the breath of Jesus comes, that ruach of God, in a moment it can change your life. The Bible is full of moments, full of where Jesus just sovereignly spoke into a situation or a life, and in that moment it changed. And just this young girl here, I really wanted you to remain up, but we'll get you to do this later. No, it's fine, it's okay. But man, I tell you something, what an anointing on your life. Why don't you just stand a minute? What was your name?
Emma.
Emma, what a great name. My niece, nephew. I'm not sure what she is, but... He's just ready to take you to new heights, Emma. He's just ready to allow this open heaven that we all live under. For the angels to ascend and descend and bring messages from God to you to begin to minister. If when you began to sing tonight, just it was like the brokenness in lives was just about to be mended. You have an incredible way of just connecting humanity with their God. It's like you're in this incredible conduit between heaven and earth. But I believe even tonight he wants to take you into realms and depths and heights of who he is where you've never gone before. There are songs, man, that are going to come out, which will be incredible. And they won't necessarily be songs that will be sung all over the world in that sense, but there'll be songs in moments that will just touch lives. And sometimes you'll just close your eyes and begin to hear the songs. And as you sing them, when you open your eyes, you'll just see a body of people before you being touched by God and mended by God. Why don't you just hold your hands out a minute and... Do you know, when we're given kids like this, we have a responsibility to look after them. Of course, all our kids. But when you get someone that before your eyes has grown up and is now maturing into their call and their destiny, we want to jealously guard the anointing that's on this life. Because there will be days coming, Phil, where when the multitudes gather and this girl gets up and begins to sing, that God will just come. And there'll be times where you don't even need to preach, you just let her hear God. Because there's a call of salvation of souls upon your life to sing them into the kingdom, to make Jesus visible to them in such a way. And I just believe tonight he's just going to anoint you afresh and anew. From tonight, it goes to a whole new level in your life. From tonight. it's like you'll go to bed singing and wake up singing. You'll be hearing the songs. Even when you're asleep, your heart will be so awake. Just let it come. Just let it come. I don't know the connection with you, but, oh, is she? Well, I won't bother saying what I was going to say then. I was just going to say you need to really mother her and let her go, but, so we won't bother. You already know that, don't you? You already know. Yeah. But you need to be ready to let her go. Because as this thing opens up for her, there'll be nations that will call, and she'll go and travel, and but it'd be for Jesus. See, her life's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. She may have other career things in mind, but believe you me, Jesus is just going to walk in and turn it all upside down. You need to be ready. Might come quicker than we think. Just you, sir. Can you just stand a moment? I managed to get 20 minutes catnap tonight before I came, and in that 20 minutes I saw you. And I was amazed when I came in here. You had a little bit more hair in the thing that I saw. On your chin. See? Steady. Can you? Hey, there you go. And when you were just playing tonight, I just saw coals put upon your head. And this is a bizarre thing, but you're an incredible father. Incredible father. And you don't realize just your presence, what it brings. And again, I just feel that there'll be a tremendous connection with you and Emma. I just feel there's some songwriting to come out of you, and to put the tunes to the words even. And, you know, even within it, there'll be moments of where you'll go solo in it. Because just suddenly it's almost like you're beginning to feel the rhythm of a sound of God. And but yet in this, I believe that you'll show the Father's heart. I believe that the sound, the words that are going to come through you are going to be about the Father. Listen, I know we love Jesus, I know the Holy Spirit, but it's about the Father for you. And I believe there's a generation that God's going to open up to you where you're going to reveal the heart of the Father. Won't you just, what's your name?
Bob.
Bob. Oh, I like Bob. The first angel I ever met was called Bob. That's really amazing, isn't it? I'm only joking.
Sorry, they
heard
me.
Oh dear. He was sitting there thinking, turn the mic off. Don't just hold your hands out, Bob. You've got to do it like Rowan Atkinson, haven't you? You've got to. But you see, God's gonna fulfill destiny here tonight. We've had bucketfuls of 10 years time, of 5 years time, of well maybe it'll never come to pass, that sort of thing. But I believe there's something in this room tonight about the here and now. About people that are going to be daring to lift up what God has been saying for a long, long time. It's like some of it's going to make sense to people tonight. Isn't he, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, good man. I'm stuck now. It's like super glue, is it? But Father, we thank you for this man. We thank you that you've put him here amongst us. We thank you, Lord, that you're about to release the Father's heart through this man in an incredible way. It's time we see the Father again. It's time we started to talk about the Father again. Jesus only came to reveal the Father. Man, you guys have got some exciting days ahead. It's so prophetic at its core, this worship. It's incredible. Isn't it, Ems? Yeah. We're going to get these guys to play later, and they're just going to hear God and sing over us as the Ruach of God comes. I feel like I just want to share some of my stories for a minute, and then we'll get on. And I was just saying this morning in Southampton, you know, it never amazes me the person of Jesus, that yet fully God, yet fully man. And in his humanity, he just showed us what was possible for us. Because everything he did, it's possible for us. It's there for us, for those that would dare believe. That's all it is. And I'm just amazed at how Jesus, in the midst of multitudes, in the midst of crowds, was always able to see the individual. You know, walking through the crowds and voices shouting, and yet he heard one voice, Son of David. Yeah. To a man born blind, not even worthy to have his own name, so he was just called Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Not even worthy to be called Bob, or John, or Paul. And yet Jesus heard his cry, his voice, in amongst the multitudes. And yet Jesus had this amazing capacity to touch the multitudes, and yet touch the individual. And it says of Jesus that he only ever did what he heard or saw the Father doing, and only ever spoke what he heard the Father saying. And Jesus did this right to the end, right into the end, even when he was on the cross. And Jesus had the incredible ability to have the presence of mind whilst he was upon that cross, beyond recognition, as they whipped him to his core, as because they felt he was a blasphemer and they pulled his beard out, because that's what the Jewish faith does. If you're a blasphemer, they pull your beard. To have that crown of thorns put upon his head and embedded in his head. And the likelihood is it wasn't a crown like you and I see in the pictures, because they didn't have crowns like that in those days. They had crowns like bowls. So the likelihood is this crown would have embedded his head at every angle. And then they nailed him and dropped him into the ground, and his body just dislocated and convulsed with pain. And yet because he knew why he came, yet because his whole life was about hearing the Father, and yet because his whole life was only doing as he saw the Father doing, even upon that cross, he had the presence of mind amongst that pain to lead one more person into paradise. In amongst that pain, he still was able to hear the Father once more and lead Mary to John and John to Mary. Then he bowed his head and it was done. I wonder what it's like today as a resurrected Christ. How he can be here tonight and touch your life, and at the same time touch your life, and at the same time touch your life. See, none of us are beyond the touch of God. You see, it says in the Bible that we, you and me, were the joy that was set before him. That's why he endured the cross and scorned its shame. Because in his mind, he said, one day, in January, in a gathering in Basingstoke, I've got it in my mind, I'm going to come and blow my breath again upon a group of people and release destiny from the eternity that I set in their hearts. See, there isn't a person in this room that hasn't had an eternity set in their heart by God. And the word eternity in Hebrew, it talks about it being concealed until a right and proper time beyond the mind that it would be released. And I feel that God conceals eternity, and the only thing that brings release to that eternity is the Spirit of God. And I love how he ventured into the lives of people. Because he set eternity in the hearts of all men, nobody was beyond his touch. The people that perhaps you and I would have condemned, he couldn't condemn, because he put eternity in their hearts. You think of Jacob, the thief, the robber, on the run from his brother. Yet because God set eternity in his heart, the destiny to become a nation, whilst he was on the run, He got him to be silent for a minute. And then he took a risk because the guy was still a thief and a liar. But he knew the eternity. And whilst he was asleep, he just opened heaven. Isn't it amazing that God's risk is to reveal himself and all that heaven has? Because when our eternity touches heaven, it brings us alive because he is heaven. And Jacob that night saw angels ascending and descending. And Jacob says it was a place called Bethel. God was in this place and I didn't know it. And then Jacob went on his merry way for the next 20 years, the next 5 years, five chapters of Genesis. And he began to learn about the nature of God because God had just begun to unlock him. Because it was all about the nation that he had put within him. And then when that time of fulfillment comes, again he meets God. An angel or a man, depending on which scripture you read. But Jacob learned something that day. He learned over those 20 years, if God suddenly comes, this time I'm going to grab hold of him and not let him go. Because he is my eternity. He is my destiny. He is my future, my hope. And he grabbed hold of God and said, you're not going until you bless me. What a change in 20 years. From a man on the run, to a man who encounters God, to a man who is so hungry he'll never let God go. And then he becomes a nation and sees a reconciliation with his brother. Suddenly before his brother, he's a man filled with humility. I think of Mary, what it must have been like for her. A 13-year-old girl, 16, 13, who knows, again, which Bible, but let's say 13. And suddenly Gabriel appears before her. Now either the Bible's lying or it's telling the truth. And this 13-year-old girl was just able to say, yes, unto your will let it be done. And we see Mary with a hunger for the things of God as she brings Jesus into the world. Because we read in scripture that it says she learned to treasure the things that Jesus did in her heart. Because I believe that that day when he was upon that cross, she drew on what she treasured. She was able to draw on that and say, yes, look at my son, the pain and the agony. But I'm drawing off because I know that it's about the destiny. It's about humanity. He is the savior of the world. And then we go to Acts. And we go to Acts 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And 120 people are gathered in the upper room. It's fascinating that only 120 were there because when Jesus rose from the dead, it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to over 500 people. And yet, only 120 had the hunger to remain and say, do you know what, I'm going to go in that upper room because he's coming back again. The theologians will tell you it had to be 120 because 120 is a special number. Noah took 120 years to build the ark and so forth, but I don't care. All it was 120 people, 380, some of which died, it says, but the others, where were they? And then it names them and it goes through that the disciples were in that upper room. And then Mary, the mother of Jesus, 46 years of age, having brought the Savior into the world, watched him die, watched him rise from the dead, watched him ascend to heaven. Yet there was still a hunger inside this woman. And she said, do you know what? If there's a next phase of my life and for the life of the church that's to come, I'm going to be there. She had more excuse than you and I to say no. She had every reason not to be there that day. And I think that would have been okay with God. But no, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as I say to my Catholic friends, she was absolutely ratted that day. Just like the rest of them. Doesn't go down well. But the hunger in these people having touched something of God. And do you know what? I wish it was all over in a day. I wish that was how it was, but it isn't. Because somehow God reveals himself to us and then takes us all on a journey. A journey of building our faith, of our trust in him. And sometimes stuff happens. Sometimes our worlds come to an end. But if we draw on what we treasure, that we know that is true of God, that we can trust the nature of God because he is true, he is faithful. Sometimes that's all we have. And that's why the account that Moses had on the mount is so significant. Because everything in that Old Testament talks about for us today, because Jesus fulfilled it. But don't forget, what you read of what Moses had is only a shadow of what you and I can now have. And when he stood and said, God, I want to see your glory. I wonder what you think sometimes the glory of God looks like. Is it that we all get covered in gold dust and feathers and perhaps tarred? Oh no, that happened to me once. Not in the spirit, by people. But I wonder what you think it is. And so Moses went and he said, I want to see your glory. And God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to show it you. And God just stood before Moses and just opened up himself to Moses and said, this is my glory. For I'm kind, I'm gracious, I'm compassionate, I'm abounding in love. That's the glory of God. It's his nature. That's what the glory is. And that's what this world's crying out for. That's why it's impossible when we have these gatherings for God not to come. He can't help himself. He doesn't know when to stop. Jesus didn't die on the cross and rise again and say, that's it, guys, it's all over. Jesus only gives in fullness. He doesn't know how to give in half measures. He gives fully of himself. He fully died. He fully rose again. And he fully poured out his spirit. He gave you the fullness of joy. So when we're crying out and saying, feels right, we have his spirit. But the more of God is the depths, the widths, and the heights of who Jesus is. Imagine what that would look like tonight. To go into depths of him where you've never gone before. To look into the depths of Jesus that you've never seen before. And for many years, that was my cry. For many years, I'd cried and cried and said, God, I want to see your glory. I want to see more of you. I live in a strange old household where my wife's been to heaven a number of times. My son gets covered in gold dust and oil. We have an angel who lives in the house. He guards our house. He walks up and down the stairs, opens the doors and all this stuff. Moves furniture sometimes. Dog freaks out. And yet for me, I wanted to see something more of God. I read every book I could. I watched every Bill Johnson podcast I could. I listened to the Bible on my earphones when I'm driving because I just thought, well, I'll get it there. I went to hear the greatest of preachers and I still came away disappointed. I bought the latest worship session CDs and for a moment I had a tingling and I cried, yet I didn't see his face. And then 2 years ago, in February 2 years ago, I went to sleep crying, praying again, God, I want to see your glory, take me to heaven. And then he just spoke to me audibly and he said, Carl, you're not going to see heaven, not in the way you think, because you're going to see heaven upon earth. You want to see heaven on earth, you look into his eyes, you'll see a depth of heaven. I tell you, healing is an expression of God, who he is. It says in Hebrews 2 that it's only testifies to the salvation that his son brought by signs, wonders, and miracles. See, heaven lives in us. It's in us, yet it's at hand. And it's fully in Jesus. The next morning I woke up and he just breathed upon my face. And then he spoke to me audibly and just said, ah, you're awake. That was it. The next night I went to bed and I woke up the next morning and he just breathed upon my face when I woke up. And he just spoke to me audibly and went, ah, you're awake. And it's just like he was drawing me in. I hadn't done anything. I hadn't read my Bible. And I love it and I do. I hadn't worshipped, and I love it, but I hadn't. And this went on for 28 days straight. I couldn't wait to go to bed because I couldn't wait to wake up. And then in the June of that year, he tapped on my arm, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he just spoke to me audibly and said, "Carl, are you awake?" I went, "I am now." But I learned that all I had to do was to lay there. He didn't talk to me, but I was there. And at the end of this, I said to the Lord, "Why are you doing this? Why these encounters?" And he said, "I want you to know from this point, Carl, you'll never contend for my presence again. You can't earn it. You can't get in the right worship session. You can't hear the right preacher. You can't contend for me because I'm with you always. But what you have to do is to go into depths and heights and widths of who I am, because there's still a place of mystery and discovery to find out who he is." And that's been my journey for the last 2 years, having incredible encounters with Jesus where he just stands before me some days and just begins to talk with me. He stood before me just the beginning of last year and ripped open the cavity of his chest and allowed me to look inside him. And when I looked inside him, I saw love and mercy and grace that I'd never seen before. It was infinity and beyond, because his love and grace knows no bounds. It can't do. Because if he has set eternity in the hearts of all men, even the most evilest person that lives in Basingstoke, God has put his eternity in his heart, or their heart, or she's her heart. And he's placed you and I to be the people that will reach in unconditionally, with grace, with love and with mercy. Not with a pointed finger, but to reach in and touch that eternity. Because when that eternity is touched, the wickedest of person can turn around in a moment. I've seen it time and time again. I've been in meetings both in England and in South Africa with gangsters coming in with weapons in their pockets, having just blown the brains out of people. And I've watched God touch the eternity, and in a moment they're saved. The heroin leaves their body. They're reconstructed within a minute. I've watched the drag queen of South Africa come into a meeting as a woman and walk out a man, because God touched the eternity. The first step to a 1,000-mile journey. But he's always on offer. He can't resist us. We are irresistible to him. He's the worst at hide and seek. You seek, you'll find. He's there to be found. He actually stands there saying, "I'm here. And we're over there." Oh, it's a worship session. No, he says, "I'm here." Before the meeting began. But when you get the anointed like you've got here, that bring a depth of Jesus, you guys are lucky. All blessed. Actually, lucky back in the Victorian ages meant blessed. It's just the National Lottery nicked it. That's why I do it, because it's lucky. No, I don't. Well, do you know what? There was occasionally, there was a time I was a church leader and my wife and I were going through some quite difficult financial times. We were losing our house and stuff like this. So I just thought, I've got to do the lottery, because my faith just wasn't there. So I used to drive 20 miles to another town, to Andover, so nobody would recognize me, and then I'd do the lottery and come home. It cost me more in petrol than the actual winnings. But I just thought, I've got to do it. Isn't it amazing? Oh, there we go. I'm renowned for breaking these things, and I've just broken it. So we'll go on here, and we'll put it in my pocket. But what's interesting about the Ezekiel 37, the breath of God, the way Ezekiel moved from priest to prophet, but took prophecy to a whole new level because it became creative. But what is interesting, when the Ruach of God and the breath of God came upon Israel that day and they formed as a nation and as an army, a cry came out from them. And the cry said this: "We've gathered as an army. We've got our flesh back. We've got our spirit back. But our hope is gone." See, it's possible to live the Christian life. Put your hands up in the air. Praise Jesus, and yet deep inside, hope has gone. And Phil knows where I'm going with this, because I have to talk about hope everywhere I go. I have to. Because a year ago, in January, the Lord came to me and stood before me. And he said to me, from this point on, Carl, wherever you go, I want you to take a message of hope. And at first I refused to do it, as you asked, and said, why? I was nervous about taking a message of hope to a church. I wondered if they would accept it or accept me. And then God just said, Jesus just stood before me and he said, you just don't get it, do you, Carl? Everything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is not just true for my church, it's true for my humanity. The message of the Bible, the message of Jesus' life is not just true so we can gather on a Sunday evening, it's so Basingstoke can gather. And I was mulling all this over, and then on February the 23rd last year I got up to have a shower. It wasn't just once a year. It was everyday occurrence. And I just got in the shower and I put the shower curtain round, and suddenly I saw the outline of a man. And he spoke to me audibly and he just said, Carl, everything you're feeling is from God. I was shaken to my core because I knew it was an angel. I was a bit moody. I went to bed early that night and had my door open, music playing. Jason Upton, anybody know Jason Upton? Yeah, good man, good woman. Yeah, great. Got to buy him. Go and get the CDs, Mark. And I'm just laid in bed and thinking what I thought I saw. And suddenly before my eyes, this man walks into my room, dressed in blue t-shirt, blue jeans, and just sits on my bed. He had the most incredible eyes I've ever seen, very similar to, a bit deeper than John's. But I was drawn to them and I just started weeping, and he sat on my bed and for the next 30-40 minutes just began to tell me things about my life, people I would meet, places I would go. And then after this time he got off my bed and I just turned to him and I just said, who are you? And he said, I'm the angel of hope. And he walked to my door, leant on the door frame, got a fag out and lit it up. No, he didn't. Always gets them, doesn't it? That's three heresies. I won't do any more. Promise. It was actually a gin and tonic, but there you go. So it was a hot night. And he just pointed to me and just said, Carl, I want you to know that I was with Wesley in Leatherhead. And then disappeared. And I just thought, man, I've gone crazy. So I kind of dozed off. My wife came to bed a few hours later, and in my mind I just thought, you know what, if that was real, maybe Mel will know. And suddenly she just led in bed, then she grabs me and she starts saying, Carl, there's an angel in the room. The dog's barking and freaking, and there's a swirl of lights like that in the room, just swirling around, all these different colours. And it begins to move around the room, then comes to the side of my wife's bed, of our bed. We don't see it separately, we're together. And it begins to take shape and form. And at that point, she just screams. And she said, Carl, we've had an angelic visitation. And I just went, that's interesting. Thought, can't tell her what I've just seen. She'll think I've gone mad. I was due to preach at Leatherhead that weekend, and Ian knows the story. And I phoned Gerald, who leads the church there, and said, Gerald, I want to tell you something, but keep it to yourself because I've got to just process this. I said, I've had a visitation from an angel of hope. Put the phone down, and within minutes on Facebook, come to Leatherhead Sunday because an angel of hope has visited Carl. It's like, oh no. It's like, no, don't. On the Thursday, I woke up and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what did the angel say to you? And I started recounting the story. And then I remembered Wesley Leatherhead. So I went to Google, everybody's best friend, because I don't know my history, and I just put in Wesley Leatherhead. I couldn't believe what I saw. The angel came to me on the 23rd of February, and on the 23rd of February 1791, Wesley preached his last ever preach to one family seeking God in Leatherhead. The next day he wrote a letter, which some call the letter of hope, to Wilberforce not to give up on the slave trade. Then I think the 5th of March he died. I just knew then that this angel had been awakened. A message of hope is coming to his church and to his world. A few months later I'm due there again. Gerald puts on Facebook that I'd had another visitation, and I hadn't. So I felt a bit of pressure. So that morning I got up, Sunday morning, because they meet in the afternoon. I was in my office. I downloaded a preach called Preachers, Walking Softly with God from preachers.com, American. I thought, well, I'll just translate it into my own words and then preach it. It's a great word. I've never used it. If I use it, then you know. I must use it one day. It's a great word. And my office door was open, and then before my eyes, the angel of hope walked in and said, we're going to Leatherhead. And I said, yeah, I know, we're there in a few hours. And he said, no, we're going now. And I can't explain this, but all I know is that in an instant I had left my home, and within a millisecond I found myself in Leatherhead, walking the streets. And I went to five houses, and he showed me the front doors of these houses and said, what do you see? And I said, well, they're clearly rich, this first house. I said, look at the front door. Then eventually we ended up on a kind of rough part of Leatherhead, North Leatherhead, which I now know as I've been there. And there was this door, green door, flaking, the paint flaking off it, and the garden was a bit like Onslow's garden. And he said, what do you see? I said, well, they must be drug dealers, something flippant. And he said to me, you just don't get it, Carl, do you? He said, you judge too many books by their covers, too many houses by their front doors. Why don't we go inside? And again, I can't explain this, but my Charles Dickens moment was suddenly we're in the home, the five homes. And I saw good things, bad things, great things, good parents, bad parents, you know, the works. But what hit me was living behind these doors of your streets, of my streets, were people that were living without God. They were living like this Robinson Crusoe lifestyle, trying to cobble together the best life they could from the wreckage of this world. And the sadness is that they thought they were stranded here forever. That even tonight people will be walking past this building, perhaps hearing a bit of noise. Tomorrow people will bump into you in the streets or at work. The summer walk through your shadow when the sun's shining. And the sadness is this, as they don't know the hope that they're looking for is locked up in you and me. But I believe first God has got to restore a hope back into us. You see, hope deferred makes the heart sick. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. But the King James puts it this way, when desire comes, it's a tree of life. And what hope does is that it brings us to a place where we desire again the eternity that he's set in our hearts, the promise and the destiny, the hope and the future, the one that won't harm you or disappoint you, because he can't. There is a hope in the Bible that says he doesn't disappoint, and his name is Jesus. Because when desire begins to live in us again, it starts to lift us, and it brings us to a point again where we can begin to see beyond our circumstances. And that's when faith kicks in. See, I'm tired of saying to people, you've got to have faith. I want them to have hope. Because I know if we ground them in hope, they'll have a faith that will never be shaken again. Sure of what they hope for. Certain of what they cannot see. But the thing with hope and faith is this, is that it leads us into a promise of God. Because hope, faith, always walk hand in hand with promise of God. Hebrews 6 says, I don't want you to grow lazy and weary, but imitate those who through faith and perseverance inherited the promise of God. Your faith won't earn you the promises of God. Your faith will carry you into your inheritance, because your faith will be what he has said to you. Your faith will be the eternity that he's put within your heart that tonight he's going to reach in and take out. And that's what Zechariah had to deal with when he spoke to the church in Zechariah 4, as he said to them, rebuild the temple again. And he took them to a place, and it says that he went to Zerubbabel, who's a type of Christ. And he said, not by my might or by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the next verse says this, O you mountains, who are you? And then they got flattened before Zerubbabel. See, when the breath of God comes, the mountains that were built from molehills in your life and my life suddenly will be flattened. It suddenly puts it all back in perspective, because hope will come. And I believe tonight the Ruach of God wants to blow and take these mountains that are purely molehills and see them flattened before your life, so that hope can take its journey in this season in your life and take you to a place of faith. Can you imagine? 120 changed the world. I wonder how many there are here tonight. 12 initially, then 120. And they turned the world upside down. Those who turned the world upside down have come amongst us. Are Basingstoke saying that today? Are they saying that King's Church, are we? What are we? Community Church. I knew it was something like that. It's just you had a crown downstairs. So. Community Church, they've come amongst us. Those that have been turning Basingstoke upside down. But let me tell you this. Is I believe in this place there is a faithfulness of God. All of us have had to have a journey. Even Abraham had to have a journey to get himself into a place where he fully believed. It says in Romans 4 that he came to a place where he was fully persuaded that God could do what he said he would do. And that word persuaded means to be fully carried by what you have heard. But when you read through Genesis and watch Abraham's life, how did God do it? He constantly drip-feeded him his destiny. We're about to go to a land you know not, but before you go, I'm making you into a father of many nations. Abraham, have a look. Look at the stars. Abraham, look at the sea. Look at the sand. Constantly. Because the next thing is, she's not my wife, she's my sister. What's God's response? You're no longer Abraham, you're Abraham. You're no longer Sarah, you're Sarah. Already the promise, already beginning, before they even saw it with their own eyes. God believed enough in the eternity he set in their hearts that he was already naming them their future and their destiny. You're no longer Jacob, you're Israel. What has God put in your heart? What molehills have become mountains that the Spirit of God needs to breathe on tonight? I'm not belittling anything of it. I came from a household where there were murders in the household. My father abused my sister. My brother abused my sister. I found myself 7 years ago on my knees about to commit suicide because of some of the stuff we went through. But Jesus came in. Because it's never about the death. As painful as this has been for some of us, it's about the resurrection. It always is about the resurrection. It was never about Jesus' death. It was about the resurrection that was to come. And I believe he's ready here tonight to see some resurrection power. I don't know if anyone's up for it. Just one, two. Oh, we've got two. That's great. I'll work with two. I don't mind. Just a young lad just with his arms crossed just there. That's it, you, yeah. Just at the back, sat down. Why don't you stand a minute? What's your name, young man? Dan. Dan, why don't you come and just walk down this aisle? I'm not proposing, I'm married, you're all right. Why don't you just hold your hands out? Why don't you reach your hands forward? I've no idea why we do this, but I know it works. It's funny, isn't it? Maybe it's because as we reach out our hand, it's like the hand of God just beginning to touch. Just let God come. Cool, you love him. You love Jesus, don't you? You really do. His heart's pounding. Why don't we go and change the world, Dan? Hey? Be good, wouldn't it? Be good. I believe there's an incredible anointing upon your life. I don't often say this, but you're tall, aren't you? Cool. This is your day today. This is your day. How old are you now?
17,
good. Because when you were worshipping earlier on, I looked around at you. I just saw God put his hand upon your life, and he said to me, you know, Carl, when this boy was even as young as 5, I put my hand upon his life, began to speak a destiny into him. And then it was like another touch in your life when you were 14 years of age. He just put his hand upon your life and said, it's getting more serious now. Then here we are today, as a 17-year-old young boy, that God is saying, now we're serious, because we're not getting serious, with a call upon your life. A call upon your life to be a leader of your peers, a call upon your life to be the plumb line for so many around you. You see, we can search the church through, and then occasionally we find somebody that's Christ-like. I think we found him tonight. A guy, a kid, through all those years, is willing for God even to take him as a 5-year-old boy and shape and mould him into who he's going to be when he's 17 years of age. There are things that you will do that will surpass your parents, your grandparents, and your great-grandparents. So come, you've got a peachy boy here. Man, you guys have been given a huge responsibility, haven't you? Looking after particular people. You've done well, you know. John, you just need to come and just lay hands on this kid. We're going to go and change the world, Dan. Can't change it all, but we can change a little bit we touch. So come, Holy One.
Yeah.
All the investment, all that you put in his life. All that creativity will burst, break forth. You're going to have to get used to doing a bit of talking, young man. Because you're going to start to share Jesus. Because there's a deep compassion in you. See, a lot of people can rabbit on about him, but not really know him. But everything you do is about your heart. Everything you do. Yeah. Unashamed of the gospel. Unashamed of the one that your heart loves. So come, Holy One, come. Yeah. How much do you guys want it for this kid?
Yes.
You've got to start wanting it for these kids. If you don't want it, you ain't going to get it.
Yeah,
you do want it.
Yeah.
Just come. Just come. Just the man at the back, in the black. What's your name?
Mark.
Mark?
Yeah.
Come, Mark. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, ha, ha. We're doing a bit of father and son, mother and daughter thing tonight, aren't we? Want you to hold your son's hand. Let me tell you something, just what's going to happen just in a little bit of the future. Not quite yet, so don't panic. But when he gets married, you walk him down the aisle, because you're going to be chuffed to nuts with your son. You're going to be the proudest dad, doing what no other dad's ever done. Because you're going to be proud of what this man's going to do. And I can understand where he gets it from now. You haven't done too bad, have you? But he's about to build a tremendous new confidence in you. really is. Because it's time. Can't do it for the Son, because when he, as we know, the last scripture is to turn the hearts of the sons back to the fathers and fathers to the sons. There's going to be an incredible work between you two. And for the world and the church to see what a father and son can truly do when they embrace one another. To walk with one another. There'll be times when you'll be in his shadows. And there'll be times when you're in your father's shadows. But I believe that God wants to seal something here tonight for the two of you. You up for that, Mark?
Yeah.
You're a good man, aren't you? You're a good man. He doesn't think it sometimes, though. But he's allowed. He's allowed. So, Lord, I pray, is the mother here, or is she washing up?
She's at home.
Yes, is there anybody else of this family, is, or is this it?
Ben, you prophesied over the guy you're telling me about his brother.
No. I met your son on the Isle of Wight.
Okay, well, he's in Southampton tonight.
Oh, I told him to come here.
Yeah. He went back to St Mary's this morning.
Telling me he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, we thought that too.
Now I know where this comes from. Hey. Well, this is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've done really well, kid. I wish your wife was here. I could tell her the same.
Yeah.
Because this is important for your family. This is about a family thing. So we're just going to let him come a minute because he's just going to do what he needs to do with this. Father, I thank you for this father and son and mother. I thank you. What's your surnames?
Forbes.
Forbes?
Yeah.
Not the banking Forbes.
No.
Oh, surprise. Thought I was on a winner then. Oh, well. Jesus, I thank you for this family. I thank you for the investment of the mother and father. Jesus, I pray that they'll be able to go from this point knowing that they've done well. They've done well to allow their boys to experience Jesus. The father, he's going to have the courage to let this one go into all that he is and all that God's got for him. And so we just pray the anointing of God upon this young lad.
Thank you, Lord.
The songs of joy that's about to fall upon your wife. I tell you, there'll be songs of joy. She'll be one of singing. I tell you, it's going to be quite incredible because it's going to be an incredibly joyful time from here on in. Incredibly joyful. The joy of the Lord will truly be your strength. And your house is going to resound again with joy. It's going to be incredible. And people are going to be drawn to your house. They're going to be drawn because of the joy. Man, it's going to be amazing. You waiting here. So, Father, we pray. Holy Ghost, just come. Fill him.
Thank you, Lord.
See, he does more than we say, really. Does more than we say. It's about just putting them in front of him and letting him come. The anointing is beginning to fall upon this young lad now. An anointing that brings purpose and destiny into his life at 17. You wait and see. You wait and see the stories that this young lad's going to come back with. The stories of seeing healings and miracles. He's going to see people walk on water. It's been a while. He'll probably look like he does because he's so tall. So Lord, I just pray. God's just coming. We've just got to take time. What time do we close? Oh, good. Okay, because we've still got more to do. Just let him come. This is this boy's moment.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Just let it come. Let it come. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can't you? Man, it's good. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Just Jesus. Just let it come. Into both of them tonight, Jesus.
Yeah.
So let it come. You're going to be a man that just ministers through tears, Dad. I tell you. Sometimes you won't have to say anything. You just get up and cry and it'll be enough. Because God's about to do such a deep work. Incredible work. And when I mean that, he ain't taking you into some strange place. He's just going to touch the eternity. He's going to touch the depths of compassion that he's put within you.
Yeah.
The compassion that's driven you throughout your life. The compassion that's allowed you not to let go of some things when you could have done. I'll tell you something, Dad. Just let it come. Let the anointing of God come. Let it come. Let it come. We can't underestimate the anointing of God. We cannot underestimate a touch from Jesus. We cannot underestimate when he gets hold of a father and son and begins to tie them together in an incredible way and brings a family into their destiny, households into their destiny, built on the compassion of God. That's what Peter saw in Cornelius, you know. He saw what you carry. He saw what you carry. He saw what you carry, Dad, I tell you, that day. So let it come. We're not finished here yet. We're not finished here yet. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Just this man on the end here in black. Come and join this holy huddle. I don't know if you know these guys at all, but you need to join in this. Man, you carry the power of God. Your words alone are powerful, but there's something more about you. There's something more about your touch. You know, we talk about living a life of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's what you're about. It's about hearing God. It's about moving when you feel that he touches you. And when you teach, your words are such life. And you see, you do teach because you have such a depth of wisdom. That's what it's about. Don't be somebody else. Be yourself. Counts for everything. We talk about signs, wonders, miracles. We talk about the touch of God changing a life in a moment. Well, you need to be that man. So you're in this now. I think this circle might get a bit bigger. Just let it come. Let it come. Man, God's just doing something. This might expand a little bit here tonight. Just the kid who's with his hand on his shoulder there. What's your name, kid?
Tom.
Tom, come on, Tom. I think you work out, don't you, Tom? Come on. Come and join us here. I want you to stand here. Do you know this kid? Good man. Well, you just stand in front of him. Because you two are going to do some stuff together. Tom, he's making everything sense to you tonight. He's dotting the I's and crossing the T's for you tonight. He's bringing a clear understanding of things for you tonight. Let it come. It's just Jesus. We have to let Jesus do this. Tom ain't going to be the same. Tom ain't going to be the same. He's been waiting for this moment. And I believe even just a couple of weeks ago, Tom, you wondered whether you would ever see this moment. Even just a couple of weeks ago, you questioned yourself. You questioned your faith. You questioned your ability. You questioned this. Well, tough luck, boy, you're here. You're in. You're in. You're in. So let it come. Let it come. It's just the Holy One. Let it come. I can tell you, in all the short years I've been alive, Tom, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never. Jesus can't do it. Jesus can't do it. It's just him in it. We're all right, family, with this at the moment. I know it's hot in here. But we just have to, we have to learn to let God be God in amongst us. That's all we need to learn to do, is allow him to be God, don't we? Because you understand this, don't you? Because it ain't new to you. It's not new to you.
No.
No. It's never over till it's over. I said. Somebody messing with you. Do you want to come and pray? Come and lay hands on these guys. Come on. We can't let all these years of knowing God go to waste. Come on. Told you it's going to get bigger. I don't know where this is going, but God's just, he's just doing something. Prayer counts for everything. Sometimes, you know, people die if they don't pray. And without prayer, sometimes they just don't get even get through. And God has pulled you into a depth of prayer. And there's the times when it's just been beseeching him, it almost seems. But let me tell you what's going to happen here on in for you. Is it's going to pull you into such an intimacy with him, of closeness and connection with God, because he's about to reveal the secrets to the ones he loves. And he's going to show you people in your prayers, some you'll probably never meet, but some that you will. If this lady ever says she's praying for you, believe you me, she's praying for you. When I say I'm praying for people, I don't often. It just sounds good. What's your name, young lady? Oh, one of my favourite names. I sometimes call myself Abby, just so. Just to make me feel good. No, I don't. Either. Why don't you come and join us, Abby? Because this is all about him saying he totally trusts you. Because you didn't think he did. No, you didn't, did you? But you need to know he does. Totally. He's trusted you fully with his kingdom. It's not about the mistakes you make. It's about the fact that you keep trying. That's what he loves about you, because you're a bit of a trier. So why don't you join in? Just lay hands. Goodness knows what will happen to you, but... He's about to put... He's just told me to tell you he's... about to put the sparkle back in your eye. Because he just told me he remembers a day when there was a big sparkle. And he's about to put it back in the most incredible way. And people are about to look at you and say, Abby, what's that sparkle in your eye? You wait and see. Because I believe when you were a kid and in your teens, people saw it. And God's about to give it you back. Because you're known as the sparkled one. He's coming for you, Abby. You're an individual that he's come for tonight. That he's heard his cry. It's incredible. Just let him do it. You know what you've prayed. You know what you prayed just even 3 days ago. You know what you prayed and you asked for. He's heard it all. So let him come. It's safe ground here. Come for yourself. But there's something about the anointing of God. Isn't it, boy? Yeah. So let him just come. I think this is the modern pool that God's just stirring, and we may have to carry one or two, but in a minute we'll see what happens when we open it up. And those that can walk can come. Isn't it amazing? You see, people often say to me, how is it you have angelic visitations? I've had people say to me, I don't believe in them. These are Christians. But pre the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Jews believed that once a year an angel turned up and stirred the water. So I think I'm on safe ground. I know I'm crazy, but hey, why not, eh? Why not? Why not? Is she your friend? Do you want to join her? Come on. Come on. So you're good at friendship. It means the world. And when you walk with people the way you walk with them, you see, it isn't all about words, and you know that, because you struggle sometimes thinking, do I have the right words? But just to put your arm around and to listen and to be, that's great. That means the world, because some people don't even have that, you know. So you need to understand that that's the kingdom of God, through you, touching lives. There are people like me that's a bit gobby, and then there are people like you who touch more people than people like me do. Because you get in lives. And when I spoke about the angel with the doors, that's what you're about. It's about in homes, cup of tea, cup of coffee. You know? But I'm going to pray that God just opens up a nice little present for you tonight. And part of that is going to be an anointing for the prophetic to be able to speak into their lives. So I believe he's going to give you that. There you go, girl. Get in the huddle. Only another 398 to go. But you see, what's happening here is it's about family. So often we profess family and we'll have a prayer line and kind of half-heartedly put our hand on the head and hope they go down because it validates our ministry. But sometimes it's just great to be a family and act like a family and say, do you know what, in the midst of a hot room, we're just going to take time with our family and we're going to love on them because they mean the world to us. And the truth is, we can't pray for every individual in here tonight. We could do a blanket prayer and all go, and I could go home happy. But we've got to do the Father's business. And there's always tomorrow night. There's always Wednesday night, Thursday night, next Sunday. Just imagine if this is what it looked like and people walked in and you were praying and prophesying and God was coming, healing, restoring lives, and the lady of the night walks in, having not had time to change from the night before, and walks into this and says, I've come home. Wouldn't that be amazing? You see, I believe we've got to go out. We've got to be missional. I believe in all that. But I tell you what, there is something about this that God's going to restore again to us as church. Because this is valuable. This is amazing. It's an incredible thing. Not everyone has this, do they, drummer boy? You are hungry. What's your name?
John.
Oh, what a great name. John, why don't you come and join us? You've got some great kids here. Great kids. Huh? Is that your dad? So it's great, isn't it? I always say, do you know, I was in America one year, 700 people in this room, and I did something similar to this. And after about 20 people, I stopped, and they were all lined up, and it was the whole family. And they weren't talking to one another. The father was angry with his son and kicked him out, and the God restored the family. I'm not saying there's any difficulty there, but you know what I mean. I'm not throwing aspersion and lies and stuff like that. So, hey, mother, are you going to join us? Yeah. What's your name?
My name's Linda.
Oh, I like Linda. I call myself that on Thursday nights. Yeah, I do. It's all about walking with you, isn't it? I tell you, man, you walk the talk. I tell you, if you were a man, we'd be calling you Nathaniel. But there's nothing false. There's no guile in this woman. She's the real deal. She's the real deal. And you know what was so significant for Nathaniel was that Jesus said, you know, I saw you and all this. But more than that, he said, you know what, there's a time coming, Nathaniel, where you truly will see the Son of Man and the angels ascending and descending. The reason I switched it into angelic is because there is something, Linda, about the angelic over your life. That it's so real. And they're ministering and they come with purpose. They come to equip. And I believe that they're about to visit you again. And God just keeps telling me to say that with some angels they have healing in their wings. And they come for restoration. Because you've got to remember, Linda, that nothing is impossible for God. God only narrows our options. So we end up with him. And Linda, dear, you're that lady. Your life will have a few options, but it will always have one. And his name's Jesus. And you are a restorer. Even the widowers will be restored through your life. Man, I don't know where that came from. I thank God. I thank the throne room. You carry much, Linda. You carry much, and I just feel he's going to lift some of the stuff on you, off you tonight that you didn't need to carry. See, we've got to remember, you know, when we live in this life and we live out our call and our destiny, we pick things up and we just got to see it lifted off sometimes so that we can then face a new day. A new day. And for Linda, she needed to face a new day. And there's a new day, Linda. I just saw a 13, 14-year-old girl stood next to you. I don't know if she's in your life now. But what a mirror image of you. And God's going to awaken the spirituality in an incredible way of the destiny of who she is. I'll leave that one with you. In a minute, we might tinkle on one of the instruments. It's hot in here, isn't it? But keep going, guys. Yeah. Listen, why would we not want to have more of him? Exactly. You know, I mean, he's up for grabs. He can't resist himself, can he? Can't resist you. Cool, you've got a great smile. Isn't he? Is that your husband?
Yes.
Is it? Good, you're holding hands, so let's check. What's your name, sir?
Colin.
Colin, that's a great name. Why didn't you stand, Colin? Do you know, I always... Colins I meet in this world, they all look like you. But what I love about the Colins I meet is there's a mystical side to them. And there's always more to them than meets the eye. So I want you to come and join the Holy Huddle. Because you bring such assurance, more than you realize and more than you know, that you bring assurance into people's lives, you bring assurance into situations. The smile sometimes is just enough for people. It puts them at ease. So you're what everyone else is looking for in this world, to be naturally supernatural, to just be natural. And you're it. You know, you just lead your life and you live for the Lord. And just maybe, like that man in Thessalonica, everyone will know that you belong to him. Because you're not into the hype. You're not into all this. You're very earthly. But my goodness, you're very, very spiritual. So Lord, I pray you come and touch the deep parts of Colin tonight, Lord. The bits we haven't seen that you've hidden for a right and proper time. The bits of eternity in his heart that you've been cultivating up until this hour. So that this family can begin to see its expression.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Yes. And you know what, Colin? You might find that you'll get new gifts. And
thank you,
Father. If you're anything like me, I can't even draw a straight line. But I just see God giving you the ability to begin to draw and to put things in that way to people. It's quite amazing. Because there's quite an expressive side to you that we need to see. Mrs., are you going to come and join your husband? She makes good food. This is how natural they are. Do you know, I was in a church 2 years ago and I said to this guy, the Lord's just told me to tell you that your wife makes amazing gravy. And I kept saying it to him, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, "That was amazing what you just said." He said, "Because for the last 25 years, every Sunday, I've told my wife I hate her gravy." True. And he says, "I'm not going to say it from now on." Isn't it amazing how God just says, "Hey, it's time to encourage your wife. It's time to stop telling her what she can't do and just gently tell her what she can do. Because she makes a great roast. Her gravy may be watery, but you need to appreciate it." And then you meet people who just carry an authority and perhaps don't know it because they're not authoritative. They don't lord it over people. They don't think, "Hey, I'm going to tell the world that I'm this, that, and the other." You know, and I think you're like that. If I had a headmaster, I'd want him to be like you. Because I feel you just know what to say in the right time, in the right season. Because you do carry an authority. And that authority comes totally through gentleness and kindness. And God has broken more hearts and saved more people through gentleness and kindness than anything else. And he's not going to let you miss out on anything. Because you'll never push yourself forward. So today, what's your name, sir?
Andy,
what a great name. Is it short for Andrea? Because that's my Friday name.
Not today.
Oh, it's Sunday, isn't it? So, come and join. Come on, guys, just keep praying because we're going to... You see, we often say, "Lord, I want a gift. I want something that will show the world I'm yours." And he said, "But I built gentleness and kindness into you. Why would you want anything else?" Where do you think these attributes come from? That's Christ-likeness. You know, gifting isn't a sign of maturity at all. And I've had to learn that over the years. Because it really isn't. It's not an excuse. But I totally get humbled every time in my life when I meet people like Andy. And people like this old man just here. How old are you, sir?
81.
Wow, you are good. Wow. Please tell me it's Jesus and not the whiskey. Or is it both? Is it both? Please. Great. I'm there. What's your name, sir?
Tony.
Tony, wow. What a... Why don't you come and join us, Tony? You're like the owl in the room. Cool, he's fit, isn't he, for 81? Yeah. Blinking. Are you married, Tony? Are you married? Yes. Is your wife here?
No.
No? Washing up? Is she washing up?
Well, I told her to have a rest. Like.
Oh, did you? You let her off on a Sunday?
I did, yes.
Oh, you're a good man. I can't get over this. Lord, I want hair like Tony. Is it your own?
It is.
Isn't it? Wow. It's amazing, isn't it?
Mind you, I'm getting it cut tomorrow.
You're not. Can you save me? Can you send me some?
Yeah.
I could get it sewn in, couldn't I? I tell you what, you get close to this guy, you'll have a laugh. He is real, isn't he? He's the real deal. You see, while our brothers in America are selling books, stay healthy and stuff like this, and longevity, and eat these pills, you then get the Tonys of the world who just believe that walking with the Lord will bring us long life and excitement. You've seen some great stuff, my friend. Mm-hmm. You smell nice as well. I haven't smelled cobalt salt for years. But you need to still put your arm around people like me that's half your age. Because we've still got a lot to learn, haven't we?
Yeah.
can we just? Do you let this man teach? Do you let him share some stories? Maybe have an evening in his house or in the retirement home or wherever it is. Or maybe put an evening like this on and let him just talk about the last 60 years of how he's seen the faithfulness of Jesus. Because this man knows the faithfulness, and some of us need to really learn the faithfulness of God. Why don't you jump in, Tony? Do you need a chair, Tony? No, I'm not. I'm being serious. Do you want a chair?
No, not a chair.
Okay. He just said to me as I was walking down, he just said to me, he said, can you hurry up because the bingo starts at 9:30. Emma, can you strum? Because literally and honestly, I wouldn't want to go from here and pray for and not pray. We've come here to serve you guys. We've had a laugh. God's been doing something. But you know what? I think there's something about when we're together as family, we pray for one another. We love on one another. You know, Jesus said something quite profound in John 13. I love the way he pulls his life together, preparing his disciples for his death and resurrection. And he begins to have the Last Supper with them, and he pulls them together, understanding their nervousness, that maybe they'll feel like orphans, and they'd worry, where is he going, and still not understanding, and Philip still saying, well, show us the Father, and all this palaver going on. And Jesus just settles them down, and he begins to just tell them, today I give you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. If they hadn't have got that in the last 3.5 years, because you hadn't had to be around Jesus for long to understand that he is purely about love. But you see, Jesus always takes it a step further. Because don't forget, it's in his humanity he's showing us stuff. You see, maybe our love for one another is so powerful that it will show the world that we're his disciples.
Yes.
Maybe our love for one another will make him visible to the world. Maybe our love for one another will show the world that he still loves them. So Jesus takes off his outer garment, wraps a towel around his waist. And at that point, he's just broken every rule in the book, in the Jewish faith. Because to reveal your inner garment is like you're showing your nakedness. But it was more than that, because Jesus had on him a seamless robe. One, whilst he was on the cross, they didn't tear, but one that they drew lots for. And he began to wash their feet. And he began to give us a new command, which I think we've lost today in church. And that is, what I'm about to do for you, you do for others. And he began to wash his disciples' feet. When was the last time that we were together in our homes, in our home groups? And we just said, you know what, tonight we're just going to wash each other's feet. Maybe it's a bit risky because they're a bit smelly. Maybe it's a bit risky. But you see, if Jesus commanded us to do it, I'm up for it. I'm up for it if he's asked us to do it. Because something profound happens when we follow the command of God. And humility is something he's built tremendous in your life. Young man at the end there. Are you? There's no one next to you. What's your name? Viv. I've not heard that one before. New one. But you see, there are those of us, Viv, that have to lead by example. And I believe you're truly a man like that. to lead by example. You know, Paul puts it this way, and he says, let's shine like stars and just simply hold out the word of life. And I believe God's built a beautiful humility in your life. And I'm just going to throw a challenge down to you tonight, Viv, and say, when you're next with your brothers and sisters, take your humility to the next level and perhaps wash their feet and see what God says through you for them. Because God can do a lot with humility. Because Jesus humbled himself. And I believe you carry humility. And I believe because of that, God has trusted you with much. And I believe there is still much he would want to trust you with. Because with people of humility, he can trust. Are you up for it, Viv? See, that's humility. We're just going to invite you to be the last one to join the huddle before we move on. You going to join us? Good man. Any agree? You've got to applaud this man. Let's give him a... Where's he gone? Oh. So, Vivian. Viv. Come and join.
My mother calls me Vivian.
Does she? There you go, you see? But let me tell you something about Viv. There are things that he has done in secret that some of you will never really know about. But I think, Phil, you know about. God's about to pour a blessing upon Viv. Because God just wants to show him that he loves him. He's a man of stature. He's a man of grace. And he's also a man of ability. And nobility. There's such a kingly royalty side to you, Viv. That you've captured something of the heart of God that we rarely see. And some call it a kingly anointing, but I call it the anointing of a son. A son who has become an heir and been entrusted with everything in his father's kingdom. So I believe he's about to give his son a little bit more. Because he loves you so, so much. Why don't we stand a moment? This is where we all participate now. I just want Emma. Emma, can you just hear God? I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't care what you sing, even if it's Kumbaya, it will work. Because you're so anointed. And young girl, tonight you can just receive. Because he loves you so. If I was fitter, I'd pick you up and throw you in my arms. Because that's what he loves to do with you. There's something about that for you. Of the daddy just picking you up and chucking you around and swinging you around. And there's a day coming upon your life where I believe that you are going to be so serenaded by God that you're just going to dance for him. And your dance will be 1,000 words. And your movement will speak of the heart of God. Because there's something about movement that you're so connected with in God. There's something about the shapes you feel inside you that you begin to express as you move. And sometimes, young girl, you'll just stand there with your arms open, and it'd be like you're beckoning in the people of God. So Holy One, just come. Holy One, just come. Just come. As Emma begins to sing, I just want you to know he's already here. But let him whip you up. Let him catch you up. Let him capture you. Let him capture your heart tonight and take you into realms and depths and widths and heights of who he is. Allow the Holy One to come, to capture your heart again. And all you have to do, this is not you begging him, this is you just allowing him to grasp you, to pick you. We're going to do this for a few minutes and then we're going to just do one more thing as a group. Just let him come. Capture, capture, capture. Allow him to capture your heart. That's it, come on. Allow him. Allow him to capture your beloved, your magnificent obsession, your pearl of great price. Everything you live for is standing before you today. Let him come. Yes. That's right.
I will not forsake you. I know your name.
Talking about tying the fox's tails. Who was it? Is it Samson?
That's good.
I called you out of darkness. I will never stop calling you.
Jesus. See, the Lord is calling us out. You see, when he calls us by name, it's a call out. He's calling us out. Bob, Joan, Peter, Paul, Mary. Because I know you by name and he's calling you. He's calling you into your destiny. It's safe. He's safe. We're just going to let these guys disband a minute. If you guys disband, because we're just going to do one thing. I'd love everyone who's under the age of 25 to come forward. Because it'd be remiss of us if we don't do this. Sorry, lads. If you're under 25, even if you're 13 or whatever, that's under 25. Can you line up? Because there'll be quite a few of you, I should imagine. Is there anybody actually 26 here who feels they've lost out, missed out? I don't. 46. He's lying. Church, you have a good look. Have a good look. This is only representative. This is small of what you've got, I know. Man, when I look at this, I look at the beginnings of opportunity, the beginnings of destiny, the beginnings of dreams. Let me tell you, girls and boys, you dream. When my dad was beating my mum up and my brother came to me and said, let's kill him and get rid of him and let's live our lives without him, I had to make a decision that day as a 13-year-old boy whether I killed my father or I allowed something to come alive in me and say there'll be more than this one day. Thankfully, I made the right decision that there'll be more than this. I didn't know God. It was 6 years before I knew him. But I began to dream of what life could look like. And the thing I love about dreams is this. If you dare dream, he'll do immeasurably more than you can ever hope or imagine. And there'll be trials that some of you are really going through now or will go through. But let me tell you this. He's the best and greatest friend you will ever have. Because in the Bible it talks about Jesus being a friend. That's what Moses saw that day on that mount, was a friend when he saw God face to face. And the word friend in Hebrew describes it like this. He's more than a mother. It's like a mother, but it isn't. It's like a brother, but it isn't. It's such a depth of love and grace, they couldn't give a meaning to it, and they still can't. Because friendship means the world to God. And he's a friend that cannot let anybody down. It's an impossibility. And I promise you today that this friend that's here tonight will never fail you. Never let you down. Never fail you, young girl. Never fail you. He can't fail you. He can't. He can't fail you. And just in the last 2 or 3 years, some of the tears that you've cried, I want you to know that he's cried with you. And I want you to know that it's never his intention for this for you, young girl. Never. But I believe today, tonight, young girl, he's going to open up. He's going to open up hope and dreams in your life. And even tonight, he's going to reach in and touch the eternity that's in your heart. Because let me tell you, young girl, there's a beautiful hope and a beautiful future for you. And that mind that he's given you, that beautiful mind that he's given you, man, he's going to use. He's going to use. You've got a wonderful imagination. And don't let anybody rob you of your imagination, young girl. I know it's a place you go to for security sometimes. But let me tell you, he's going to use your imagination. Because it's beautiful. And believe you me, in some of your imagining, God touches you. He meets you. Wow. Mother, you've got a beautiful girl here. Wherever a mother is, you've got a beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. Let her describe what she sees sometimes. Her imagination's broad and wide, but it's very colourful. And it's been safe for her. But believe you me, God's been speaking to her. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Don't let people rob you of your imagination. Preachers will come and say, take hold of your imaginations. But that ain't what he's talking about. That ain't what he's not here to stifle the life out of you, young people. And if anybody ever comes here and says that to you, you kick them off the pulpit and say, you're not welcome here. Because we're about life in this church. And you guys need to get ready. Because I'm telling you this, for 3 years I've seen it in my water. I've seen a move of God. That leaders, young men and young women, with burning hearts, ready to be on fire for God, where he means everything to them. They're willing to stand up in college and in the playground and say, yes, I'm a follower. At risk of accusation, at risk of people pointing the finger. And he's going to do it with guys just like you. Just like you. Just like you. Because you'll always be a big sister. You'll always be great. You'll always stick up for the weaker person. You're a defender of the weak. There's a strength that God's put in you of one so young. Why don't you go and be an Aaron Brockovich of the world and speak on behalf of those who can't speak for themselves? Go to communities where they haven't got a hope in what's it. Till you come in. Why not? Why not dream that big? Because it might be bigger. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be amazing? This is the Jesus. We're not playing around with you tonight. Because there's a nation to be changed and won. And some of us are getting a bit too old to do it. Unless you're Andy or whatever his name was over there. Was it Andy? Tony. Don't cut your hair, Tony. You might lose your power. So I want my friend Mark to come. This is a young man from South Africa who started building church with people just like you, your ages, and a bit older when he was a young man. A young man who's seen miracles that will blow the brains of people in this room tonight. Where a man was amputated above his knee. And Mark and his church laid hands on him one Sunday. And the knee grew before their eyes. And now his leg's growing. He has to keep buying new shoes. Because his foot's this big. No. But this guy's moved over here because of the likes of you. Because God told him there'll be people like you, your ages. God, aren't you beautiful? Aren't you beautiful? Man, you're stunning. Your eyes are just tremendous. And you can do anything you want to do, young girl. because you're going to wipe away loneliness from people's lives. You're going to write stories that are going to touch the world. This is how big it is. Isn't it funny, eh? You, little you. And why not? Why not you, eh? Why not you, gorgeous? Why not? Man, loves you know that, don't you? Yeah, she's beautiful, isn't she? Man. So when the Carpenters wrote that song, The Day You Were Born, the angel sang or whatever it is, man, that was about you. So Mark's going to pray for an anointing of God to touch you guys. Because let me tell you, BCC, is what you're seeing here today is no longer about your destiny. It's about now. That I believe that God has laid upon your heart, if you look through the history of this church and the movement, you could look over 25 to 30 years and see that there was a promise that this would exist one day. And it says in Corinthians, now it is required those who have been given a trust must be proved faithful. God has been waiting to get you to a place where you're faithful, that he could trust you with this. Because you were there once, and you were in this line once. John, you were in this line once. And somehow it slipped through our fingers. But you see, all God was doing was getting us to a day where we could be the fathers and the mothers, so that this generation would have that in their lives, and they would have fathers and mothers in their lives to go and do what they're called to do. They would have that security. It's not about apostles and prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. It's about mother and fathers. And before Mark prays, young people, I just want you to turn round and I want you to look at a church full of mother and fathers. Just have a look. This is what it looks like. And I want you, mother and fathers, to look at your kids. To look at your kids. And I'm going to throw a challenge down to you again that I did when I met the leadership, and that's this. Are you willing to invest in these? Are you willing to hear their dreams and their visions? Are you hearing that some of these have got a dream to go to university and perhaps can't afford it now because it's 9,000 quid? Are you willing, as a church, to say we're investing in the future and destiny of this child into the kingdom of God? This kid wants to join a dance club but can't afford it. We're going to pay. We're going to invest. We're going to make an investment into the lives of these kids. Because we believe in it. We believe that they may have to go from here to fulfill it, but we're there with them because we're their mum and dad. How far are you willing to go with these kids? So now you can turn around and Mark's going to pray. And I want you to get into the holy pose, whatever you're comfortable with. He wants you to hold hands. He doesn't talk much. Doesn't speak English. Yeah. I had to explain when I was on the Isle of Wight this week that Mark wasn't my husband because we kept holding hands.
Abby.
So here we go, Mark, go on.
Just take the hand of the person next to you. Just put it out. Just put it on the front. There's a reason we're going to do this. It's not a weird thing, but I want to share something.
While Mark's talking, just quickly, just come and lay hands on your kids. Some of you, just come and lay hands. Mothers and fathers, come and lay hands on your kids. No matter if they're yours or not, just come and lay hands on them. Because they are yours. They're yours. That's it. Push through, my friend. Go on then, Mark.
Before I pray for you, as I'm looking at you guys, I'm just remembering that I was 22 years old, 21 years old, and I stood in a church, and it was the end of the service, kind of like this, and I stood there, and I was saved. I got saved quite young, after the end of service, and the fire of God came upon me, and I began to weep. I'm saying, Lord, I'm not upset. Why am I doing this? And I began to shake. I'm saying, this is not right. What's going on? And I stood there in that service for about an hour that night, and the fire of God fell upon my life. And I went from that place, and I found two people I knew who were Christians. I said, we've got to start something. Within about 3 weeks, we had about 60 to 70 people saved. The place just began to explode all over the campus, the university campus that we're on. And I don't know why I'm sharing this with you tonight, but I just feel like God is going to fall upon you with His fire. And I'm just remembering that, I think it was Samson who took the foxes and he tied them together and he lit them with fire and he sent them out into the fields that they could burn. They could burn, and God is going to do that with your life right now. And that's why your hands are connected to the person next to you, because God is lighting you not as an individual but as a team. He's connecting you, and He's going to send you out into the fields, and you're going to burn with the fire this world, this nation needs. And so what I'm going to do before I pray, I'm going to sing over you. This is a bit strange, but I'm going to do it. So just receive. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, Lord.
Here he is. He's there.
Light the fire. Light the fire.
Yes, Lord.
Send them out.
Yes, Lord.
To this world.
Yes, Father.
Light a fire. Light a fire. Send them out into this world, for they are calling, for they are crying, for they are waiting for what you have. So light a fire, light the fire. Light a fire, hold on. Come on, just sing with me, sing. Light the fire, light a fire, light the fire, hold the fire. Sing, light the fire, light a fire. Light the fire, and send them out into this world, come on, light the fire,
yeah, come on,
light a fire, light a fire, and send them out into this world, light a fire, light a fire. Light a fire, send them out, send them out.
Come on,
into the world. Come on, light a fire, light a fire, light a fire, send them out.
Come on, Jesus,
into this world. Prophesy, light,
woo, God.
Light a fire.
Woo!
Light a fire, send them out.
Woo, God. Woo, God. Come on.
Light a fire. Light a fire.
Come on, Jesus. Woo, woo.
Light a fire.
Hey.
Come on.
Woo, woo, woo.
To this world.
Woo, God. Woo. Woo. Woo.
Fire.
Woo.
Light a fire.
Hey, God. Hey,
God.
Hey,
God.
Hey,
God.
Hey, God. Hey,
God. Hey, God.
Whoa.
Let them burn for you, Lord. Let them burn.
Hey.
Let them burn.
Shoot,
Lord.
Shoot.
Let them burn.
Hey,
God. Release your fire. Release your fire.
Come on.
Release your fire, Lord. Fire. Release your fire. Release your fire, God.
Wait, wait. Woo! Come on, play. Cheer! Get ready. Woo! Come on. Come on, play. Come and lay hands on them. Come on. Come on, some of you come round the front and lay hands on these kids. Come on. Come around. Yeah, God. We God, come on. Whoa. Yeah. Wow. Shoo. Come on, Jesus. Supernatural ministry.
Yes, Lord.
Supernatural.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Burn, God.
Wow, come on.
Oh, Lord, we speak to this generation.
Yeah.
God. Lord, we speak to this generation in this nation, God. I want us to begin to prophesy. I begin to speak to this generation in this nation. I want us to begin to turn to the north, the south, the east, and the west and begin to call forth this next generation. Lord, we speak to the youth of this nation right now, God. Lord, we speak to the youth, Lord God. We speak to the youth of this nation and we say, be saved in Jesus' name. Yeah. We speak to the youth of this nation and we say, experience the love of God. We speak to the youth of this nation and we say, come in and be loved.
Yes.
Come in and be
loved. Yes.
Come in and be healed. Come in and be restored. Come in and find your identity. Come and find who you are. 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 We call you forth. We call you forth right now, Lord.
Yeah.
We call you forth, Jesus. Begin to touch the young people of this nation, Father. Lord God, come, Father. Lord, we cry out for this generation, Lord.
We cry out for this generation, Lord.
For they truly are on the auction block right now.
Yes.
They truly are on the auction block. Like, and we put in a bid right now. Lord, we put in a bid like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. We say, here we are, Father. We put in a bid tonight, Lord, so
we
say that this generation will not die. Father, this generation will not go the way.
This
generation will be saved, Lord. This generation will be saved, God.
Yes, Jesus. Put your arm around him. Put your arm around each other. Go for it. Shout it out.
Lord, I pray that you fill us, Lord, with your love, Lord, with your mercy, Lord. That you rain down on us, Lord. That you drown us, Lord, with your ever living love, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
You'll never dry out, Lord. It will never go away. You'll always be with us, Lord. I pray send us out, Lord. That you light an everlasting flame, Lord, in our hearts, Lord. That you really. Yes, Lord. That you let us go out, Lord.
Yes.
To feed the poor, Lord. To feed the hungry.
Come on.
Yes.
to let the blind see, Lord. Yes, Lord. To feed the hungry, Lord. Yes, Lord. To give comfort to the weak, Lord.
Yes.
To give strength to the weak, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Pray
let me tell you.
Rain down on us, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Come on, rain down.
Rain down.
Let me tell you this. It says in Revelation 12 that the enemy, the devil, is the accuser of the brethren. And the word accuser in Greek means kategori, where we get our word categorize. So the way the enemy accuses the church is it categorizes people. It boxes them. And we're not having that here tonight for our kids. We're not having them boxed in and saying this is all they're going to be, like some of us have had to have. So we're going to see a release that the enemy will not have his hold on these kids. So Father, we declare that they will not be categorized. Lord, and we declare that we are not a church that puts them into a box and says this is all you shall be. Father, we awaken. We awaken them tonight, Lord Jesus, to be all that you've called them to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come. Come. Jesus. Jesus. Amazing. Jesus. This bit will be over when it's over. We'll just carry on, do what you want to do, and if you want prayer, pray for one another. If you know there's the sick amongst you, pray. We ain't begging God, we'll just say no, be healed, and let's pray for one another if you want it. Just find someone and say, hey, pray for me. And then we'll go home and watch Wild at Heart.